Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
It is the second Sunday in Lent, which is the 40-day period between Ash Wednesday and Easter Sunday, when Christians focus in on Jesus' suffering and death for us, and we look forward to the hope in his resurrection, which is the first fruits leading to the resurrection to eternal life for all who hope and trust in Jesus. It's really popular. Whenever you think of Lent, I think probably everyone thinks firstly about giving something up for Lent, right? And many of us are doing that, and that's wonderful in order to kind of sharpen our focus in on Jesus. That's great. More space for prayer and reflection. Nothing wrong with that. That's wonderful. But this Lent, we have said, what would it look like to not just take things away, what would it look like to add things in? And so we're taking a break from preaching on courage, been a sermon series on courage, but we're going to begin to do something that requires great courage, a journey of opening ourselves up to more of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. So we're beginning a short sermon series for the rest of Lent called Open. And we're just going to be asking ourselves a really brave question, like, what am I open to the person and the work of the Holy Spirit? Am I open to more of the work of the Holy Spirit in my life? Do I want to be open? Should I be open? What does that even mean? So we'll be preaching on that for the rest of Lent. But preaching isn't enough. There you heard it. A preacher tells the truth for once, right? Preaching isn't enough. It's very good, but it's not enough for this journey. And we are very much thinking of this as a journey through Lent and beyond. So certainly we're going to preach on it, but we're inviting you to take on some more practices and invest in your life with Jesus and inviting more of the Holy Spirit into your life. So we've created some resources. We've got booklets that look like this. If you have no idea how to begin and how to have a basic time with Jesus that then can grow out, we've written up this little booklet, and there's some available at the back desk there. It's also available as a PDF online. And there's also videos of somebody taking you through this booklet on our website. Find the section of our website called Lenten Resources, and you can find the videos and the PDFs there. Or if you're like me and you like paper, you can have one on us. We've also been emailing out. You can sign up to have the Lenten scriptures emailed out, a daily scripture verse emailed to you. You can think about and meditate on for your day. That's very good to add into our life, be very helpful on this journey. And then we've also written up this prayer that is a prayer of us saying, I'm open and welcoming the Holy Spirit into our lives. And it's available, again, PDF on our website for those of you that don't like paper, but for others of you, we've got these bookmark-sized ones. They're dotted all around the hall. You can take that home and pray this a number of times per day to add things in. This is something we're doing as a community. There'll also be other things coming, particularly during Holy Week, so there'll be even more there to help us connect in a deeper way with the Holy Spirit and to really embrace a journey with Jesus through Lent. All the resources, the sermons, everything will be on the website. And so I just want to say something really quickly about this. You don't have to use any of the resources. It's really not about that, okay? Use them if it's helpful. Don't use them if it isn't helpful. But what I want to say is let's not miss a moment. We are a church that leans into spiritual formation, community or family, and then city and global impact, or formation, community, and impact. And the Holy Spirit during Lent, and as we take on these practices as a community, will be forming us as individuals, but he's going to be doing something in our whole community, and then it's going to multiply, and I have no doubt that it will then overflow into impact all around us. So let's not miss anything, and let's commit to the journey. So today I am just going to introduce the sermon series a bit, look at a few reasons why we may be closed to more of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and then I'm going to walk through the Bible a little bit to see what the Bible actually says about the Holy Spirit and his role in our lives. We're going to look at Jesus and what he said and did, and then at the end, we're going to create some space for you to respond. So my prayer this morning is that the Holy Spirit would fill our hearts and fill this house, Fill this house with people who need Jesus and want to worship him. So we pray, and that's what I'm going to pray. So let's pray that right now. Holy Spirit, would you come? Just as we embark on this talk and this stage of our journey, we ask you to come. We ask for you would help us open ourselves more. Wherever we happen to be with this, would we be ready to say, I'm open, I want even more. So fill our hearts. And Lord, would you fill this house? Would you fill this house with many more people who want Jesus and want to surrender their lives to him and follow him for the rest of their days? We ask you to fill our hearts and fill this house. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, something is, there we go. Why is the door closed? Okay. We all have different stories, don't we? And there are some common reasons why we may be hesitant, fearful, or closed off to, or wary about the Holy Spirit. We may be really new to faith in Jesus, and it's just all a bit confusing and overwhelming right now, and that's okay. We are a church family that can help and walk alongside of you. Please don't ever feel bad about that. We want to really help you with that, and we know that it can take a while to find your feet as a follower of Jesus. Others of us, we've been following Jesus for a long time, a good while, maybe even our whole lives, but there are some things in our story that have led to us saying, you know what, the door isn't open, the door is actually closed to the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to need you just to advance the slide. There we go. Give me one more. There we go. We have maybe been part of churches that have been closed to the Holy Spirit. The churches we were part of didn't welcome him, didn't welcome his work. They didn't teach on the Holy Spirit. They didn't encourage anyone to pursue him and largely ignored him or warned people off of him. Okay, maybe that's part of the church we were raised in or something like that. The church I was raised in, the only time I can ever remember the Holy Spirit being mentioned is when we recited the creeds. I believe in the Holy Spirit, right? And that was it. That was the only airtime he ever got, and I went to that church for the best part of 20 years. I just never heard anything about him. The Bible reveals the Holy Spirit to us as a person, the third person of the Trinity, God's personal presence in the world and in the church. And I think it's really helpful for us as we begin this journey is to start to think of him in personal terms, relational terms. How can you be open to a person that you've never even heard of? Other traditions, again, have gone further, and they haven't just ignored the Holy Spirit. They've warned off as dangerous much of the work of the Holy Spirit, even the work of the Holy Spirit that Jesus and the New Testament encourages all believers to embrace. You may have been taught that anyone who pursues or welcomes the Holy Spirit is a heretic. I was called a heretic about a week ago. That was fun. I'm getting over it. It's not the first time. Probably won't be the last. So maybe you've heard that people who really go for it with the Holy Spirit are heterodox or heretical. They are over-emotional. It's all about emotion, and it's just all crazy emotion. It runs on just feelings, and it's just kind of crazy and bonkers. And when people say that to me, which they do, I just say, look at this face. Do I look over-emotional to you? Like, this is happy, you know? So we can dismiss that one out of hand, right? But, there's lots of different things maybe we've heard or been taught, but if we're in soil like that, we just can't expect our openness to the Holy Spirit to grow, can we? Also, you may have come from a context where the Holy Spirit had to be controlled because we're afraid of losing control. And if we let the Holy Spirit lead us, he might wreck this church that we have. And I remember visiting someone in another country, and they wanted me to preach. So I said, okay, I'll preach. And they said, you can preach. You can preach from the Bible. You can invite people to follow Jesus, but you can't do that Holy Spirit stuff that you like. Why? It's too dangerous. Okay. I was like, well, I'm just not sure I was in charge. And I was like, well, what exactly do you let God the Holy Spirit do? What do you let him do? And you know what? Churches like ours can get really cocky about that. Like, oh, well, we're great on the Holy Spirit. We don't control him in any way, shape, or form, you know, because we're people of the Spirit, right? Well, just this morning, right before church, I was sitting right on those seats there with a dear friend of mine, Pete, and he was saying, hey, what if we were to push the boat out in corporate prophecy on a Sunday morning? It's very biblical. 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14 mentioned a lot. Paul encourages it. Like, why wouldn't we do that? And my answer to him was, well, I'd have to get over my control issues first. And yeah, let's go on that journey. Let's do that together. But I had to admit, like, oh boy, what would happen if we let him out of the box? The Bible tells us the Holy Spirit can be grieved. The Holy Spirit can be quenched. He doesn't stick around where he isn't welcomed and pursued and listened to, or if he's controlled. Would you? And you know, if I said to you, be careful of a certain person. You might meet them, but you need to be really careful of them and wary of them. I think they might be dangerous, but I'm not sure. Some things they do are okay, but we don't like the other stuff. Like, what would your posture be towards them if you ever met that person? It would be wary, right? You'd be cautious, not open, right? Well, it's the same with the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit. And if any of that, you know, story from our church background is there, or our lives, we shouldn't be surprised if we're just a bit closed off to the Holy Spirit. Others of us were part of churches that were too open. And what I mean by that is it's a bit tricky. Like, you can't be too open to the Holy Spirit, right? That's the whole point of this sermon series. But what I mean by that is it's all Holy Spirit all the time, and there's no safety or teaching or boundaries around that. And it's all out of control all the time. See, the Apostle Paul will be seeing that he tells us to be unafraid of the wildness and power and gifts and leadership of the Holy Spirit, but he also says that things should be done with order. And I guess that's what I'm getting at. And maybe the churches we grew up in, they never got that memo about the order bit. And it was just crazy, and people got hurt, and it was wild, and there was no teaching on it, and there was no confronting behaviors that people said were the Holy Spirit but weren't, and was just an excuse for weird behavior. No one was discipled or trained or confronted, and it was all about the dramatic things the Holy Spirit can do and never about the other things that the Holy Spirit loves to do that build us up in Jesus and help us live daily with them. And many of us who grew up in churches that had no restraint, just at some point, we just can't keep going to the circus. Because some of it was genuine, but lots of it was just silly or downright incorrect. And the Holy Spirit was nowhere near it, but we said he was and had a party around it. And when we're kind of on that treadmill, that just leads to a real burnout. And then maybe some of us have just said, look, I grew up there, man, and if that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit, no thanks. And maybe for that reason, we're really cautious and not open to the Holy Spirit. Another one would be no one helped us recognize him. No one taught us or showed us when he shows up. And we feel like we've never experienced the Holy Spirit. Maybe that's how you're sitting here, right now, today. I've never really experienced the presence of God. I've never experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit. But maybe we just didn't realize we already have. We just, no one ever taught us. If I were to ask, you don't have to raise your hands, but if I were to ask you, have any of you ever had God speak to you? I've asked this question a lot, actually, in rooms, and people are pretty hesitant, particularly in Belfast. They're like, I don't know. Maybe, probably not. Rule myself out. That's kind of the response, you know. Maybe you're feeling that in you right now. But if I were to ask it a different way, like, have you ever felt even just once in your life that you just knew in your knower, you know, something, you know? Maybe it's you should stay away from a certain person or thing. Like, I just don't know how I know this, but I know it's bad news. or that I know I have to take this opportunity. I know there's something in this for me. It doesn't, on the surface, it doesn't look like there is, but I just know deep down something is prompted. I got to take that opportunity. Or maybe if you've been in a high-stakes situation relationally or even in the world of business or whatever it is you do, you've been in a high-stakes situation and somehow you knew what to say and you just had words coming out of you that people responded to and it fixed the situation, but you just don't even know where those words came from. Anyone ever have any of those moments? You can put your hands up if you've had any of those moments. Well, what if that's the Holy Spirit? And what if one of his roles in our lives is to help us discern, help guide us, help lead us, to speak to us? Like, what if it's that? You see what I mean? It's all in how you ask the question. If I were to ask you, have you ever felt loved and wanted by God as you read the Bible, or as someone prayed for you, or as you were just praying yourself, or as you were in worship or in community? Have you ever felt that, even once in your life? One of the things that commonly happens here is that people walk in, particularly the worship, and they like feel something, and they can't stop crying for about the first 3 weeks that they attend. And it's like, well, what are all those things? Like, is that us just being over-emotional? Again, look at the face. Probably not. Is that us losing our mind? What if it's the Holy Spirit? What if that's the Holy Spirit doing his work, drawing us closer to Jesus, drawing us closer into community, drawing us closer to hear his voice in the scriptures, drawing us into deeper experience of the love of God for us in Jesus? What if we have experienced the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, but we just didn't know what it was or how to engage with it more? Another issue is when depersonalization becomes routine, or we get used to living with a depersonalized God. Whatever our story, when we've remained a bit closed or all the way closed to the work and person of the Holy Spirit, one of the biggest issues is that we just can get used to and expect a depersonalized God. We just don't know how to relate to him. No one ever taught us how, and it's really easy then just to slip into religious adherence instead of life-giving relationship. And we just lose, or never even had in the first place, the truth that Jesus, by the presence of the Holy Spirit in and upon us, has actually deep relationship, deep rich friendship for us, but we just have no clear idea how to get there. And we hear people talk about it, and we're like, I have no idea how to get there. I want that. Don't even know. God is very depersonalized, and we feel cold. Things are cold and intellectual, with no power to change and no passion to be kindled, and no help to do what we know we can't do in our own strength. And maybe you felt like that. I've felt like that in points in my life. I'm going to read a quote from a New Testament scholar called Daniel Wallace. And I think there he is. There's a picture of Dr. Wallace. And I don't know him personally, but I know his Greek grammar beyond the basics intimately. Because it's one of the texts we had to study in pastor school. And I'm going to read you a quote from his story. Now, what you need to know is this isn't one of Andy's mates that I trot out as to prove his point. Actually, he and I would disagree pretty strongly on a lot of things around the Holy Spirit. I think he's a brilliant scholar. I think he's amazing. His Greek grammar beyond the basics is a stunning work of training and exegesis. My brain hurts when I read his essays, his blog posts, and his Greek grammar beyond the basics. If you're having trouble sleeping, get that book. But listen to his story. So he wouldn't be quite where we are today, but listen to his story. This comes from a period of his life when they found out that his 8-year-old son contracted cancer. And they went through a summer of just not knowing what the future would hold. Now, just so you don't get distracted with that, his son is alive and well and has recovered and is full of health and joy and love in God, which is amazing news. But this is his story from that. Now, he is going to say some things in here that I've lifted out of a context. What you need to, he's going to say things like, the Bible wasn't enough. Now, I just want to be careful, because he is a scholar of the scriptures, and what he isn't saying is that you should stop reading the Bible. I want you to read the Bible more than you already do. I don't know how much you do, but I want you to read it more. The Bible is authoritative and valuable and powerful and passionate. But he is trying to make the point that he was living in the world of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Bible. as the three parts of the Trinity. Okay? And when his life began to fall apart, he recognized he needed more. So don't hear me or Dr. Wallace say, don't read your Bible. Okay? But it might sound a little bit like that because I'm lifting this quote out. Anyway, probably too much information, but here we go. Through this experience, I found that the Bible was not adequate. I needed God in a personal way, not as an object of my study, but as a friend, guide, comforter. I needed an existential experience of the Holy One. Quite frankly, I found that the Bible was not the answer. Again, all my caveats to that, okay? I found the scriptures to be helpful, even authoritatively helpful, as a guide. But without feeling God, the Bible gave me little solace. In the midst of this summer from hell, I began to examine what had become of my faith. I found a longing to get closer to God, but found myself unable to do so through my normal means, exegesis, scripture reading, more exegesis. I believe that I had depersonalized God so much that when I really needed him, I didn't know how to relate. I longed for him, but found many community-wide restrictions in my environment. I looked for God, but all I found was a suffocation of the Spirit in my evangelical tradition as well as in my own heart. Even Dr. Wallace needed to know God to be present and personal and real, but didn't know how. And he's articulating that somehow God's personal presence had been suffocated out of his life and out of his story. And he needed to become more open to the Holy Spirit. Not rejecting the Bible, open to the Holy Spirit. Tim Keller, who's a pastor in Redeemer Central in New York City, said this: the main thing the Holy Spirit does is he makes Jesus real to you. What about you? Is something in your life with God, your relationship with Jesus, feeling suffocated? Is it time to go on this journey of becoming more open to the Holy Spirit and all he does in us and through us? And what if we won't experience all that God has for us until we embrace the Holy Spirit? And what if that's what the Bible and Jesus has told us all along? Let's find out. Let's do a brief intro to who the Holy Spirit is. Again, he's the third person of the Trinity, fully God, yet distinct from God the Father and God the Son, Jesus. He's God's personal presence, as one theologian said. His personal presence in the world, in his followers, and in the church. His role is to manifest the presence of Jesus in us, around us, and through us. Again, in the church and in the world. A wonderful New Testament scholar called Gordon Fee says this: the Holy Spirit in Paul's writings was always thought of in terms of the personal presence of God. The Spirit of God is God's way of being present. Whatever else the Holy Spirit was for the Apostle Paul, he was always an experienced reality. The Holy Spirit is all over the Bible. The first place we find him is Genesis chapter 1, and we find that he was instrumental in creation. In Hebrew, God's Spirit is ruach, which means breath or wind. And so in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So the very first thing in the scriptures we find is that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, hovers over chaos and begins to bring order. Just remember that. Okay? Then we see him in Genesis chapter 2. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. So it's translated breath of life or breath of God, but it's the same word. It's God's Spirit breathed in, and then there's life and creation. Every time you breathe, you echo a moment of Eden when the Spirit of the living God, the very breath of God, is poured into mankind. The rest of the Old Testament, God is present with his people in a pillar of fire and cloud in the tabernacle in the temple. But the people would come to the presence of God, but it would be very much located in a specific place. Now, occasionally the Spirit would anoint individuals for acts of service. We see this in Gideon, which we looked at a couple of weeks ago. I think I put the reference in there. Did I put a Judges reference in there? There we go. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, summoning the Abiezerites to follow him. And in the Hebrew, instead of it came on Gideon, it's the same word as like you would put a coat on. Like the Holy Spirit was like put on him like a coat. Okay? So people in the Old Testament get like clothed with power to do dramatic things. But it's not a sustained presence. Okay? But in some of the people of God's darkest times, in threat and exile, the Holy Spirit spoke to prophets about what would come. The prophetic vision was that the breath of God, God's Spirit, God's personal presence wouldn't just show up occasionally, and it wouldn't be located in a tent or a temple, but it would be poured out everywhere on all people and in all people who follow him. So Isaiah 44, it's also oftentimes in the prophetic literature, it's portrayed as like water, the Holy Spirit and water. Water is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my Spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. If you look at the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 36, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my Spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. So it's this Spirit of God that's going to be in the people to draw them closer to God's best and to help them follow him in holiness and obedience. And then a very famous passage of scripture, Ezekiel chapter 37, the prophet Ezekiel, God shows him in a vision where it's actually the Spirit of God. If you read chapter 37, the whole thing, the Spirit of God takes Ezekiel out to a valley with dry bones and tells him to prophesy over them. Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. And then verse 14, I will put my Spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. The prophets were looking forward to the day when God's Spirit was poured out and poured into all people, purifying them, saving them, unifying them, empowering them, not in isolated pockets and not in like a temple place, but upon everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, that the Spirit of God, the breath of God, would be poured out and poured in. And what would motivate a people to be devoted to the Lord wouldn't be adherence to rules or attendance at an event. It would be an internal witness of the presence and power of God. That's the prophetic vision. But what about Jesus and the Holy Spirit? Was Jesus open to the Holy Spirit? What did he say about the Holy Spirit? One of our biggest values, formation. I talked about it a little bit earlier. We believe that one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to form us into the likeness of Jesus. That's Holy Spirit work, that process of formation and transformation. That's Spirit work. So if we do want to be formed in the likeness of Jesus, well, what did he say about the Spirit? We want to be like him? Well, what was he like with the Spirit? Well, as it turns out, he was the most open to the Holy Spirit, the most open person to the Holy Spirit that this world has ever seen. Firstly, we're just going to do a scattershot approach to his life. We see at Jesus' baptism, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting or remaining on him. So it didn't go away. It wasn't for a moment. It wasn't a great conference moment. And then, you know, you're back to the best or a course or something like that. The Spirit of God remained on him at his baptism. And then we hear John the Baptist's testimony about him in John chapter 1. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. So John the Baptist is saying, not only is the Spirit on him, but he will douse everyone with the Holy Spirit. I can only do that with water. He's going to do it with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Just after his baptism, he was led by the Spirit. See that in Mark chapter 1. At once, the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness. As soon as he gets the Spirit in his baptism, he's then led by the Spirit. And then we're going to see him in Luke chapter 4. He stands up in the synagogue. And this is the beginning of his ministry. This is how Jesus understands who he is and what he's here to do. He's articulating it through the scroll of Isaiah. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me. So his self-understanding is that the Spirit of God is on me. And that same Spirit has anointed me to go and do some things, proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Later on, he tells Nicodemus that he and everyone else must be born again. And when we put our faith and hope in Jesus, and God puts a new life from heaven in you and in me, Jesus said that new birth comes from the Holy Spirit. Sounds like he's taking this Holy Spirit thing pretty seriously. John chapter 4, he tells a woman at the well that she should ask him for living water. If you knew who I was, you would have asked me for living water. And then in John chapter 7, he stands up and he says, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scriptures has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. And then by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. God's personal presence would become, as one theologian said, an inner source of constant renewal and power, living water bubbling up from within every person who trusts, loves, and serves Jesus. Later on in John chapter 14, Jesus promises that the Spirit is coming. He is leaving to be with the Father, but the Holy Spirit is coming. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And he means I'm going to come to you by the Holy Spirit. The word advocate in the original Greek is a legal term. It's someone who comes alongside, is with you totally, totally with you, and advocates for you in every realm. Don't you wish you had somebody like that? You do. The Holy Spirit. When we come to faith in Jesus, we are born again. We are made alive to God in Christ by the Holy Spirit, who purifies and cleanses us and empowers us, and God himself takes up residence and dwells in us by the Holy Spirit, living water bubbling up. Acts chapter 1, Jesus told his followers, do nothing till you hear from me, basically. He says to them, do nothing until you receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Wait for the gift. So Jesus thinks the Holy Spirit is a gift. Do we? Big question. Wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be drenched, absolutely, totally immersed in the Holy Spirit. Don't do anything until you receive a drenching in the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. You need living water bubbling up in you and extra dosings of the Holy Spirit on top of that to live in Jesus' new family and kingdom. That's what he's saying. Not just for the super Christians, not just for the God Squad, not just for the mega healing prophetic gift. Those are great. We would love more of them, but not just for those. Simply to live well in the way of Jesus, every single Christian needs the Holy Spirit. Are we open to the Holy Spirit like Jesus is open to the Holy Spirit? Pentecost. Pentecost. What happened to Jesus' followers? That's when they were drenched with the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. You can read all about it in Acts chapter 2. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. If you read Acts chapter 2, you see that Peter, the leader of the apostles, gets up and he preaches this amazing sermon. And he says, basically, this is what the prophets prophesied. He quotes the prophet Joel. And he said, the prophets always said that God would put his Spirit in us, and now here it is. And then Peter tells them all about Jesus' death and Jesus' resurrection. And he told them that the risen Jesus is now the one pouring out the Spirit on us, as you see. And then he invites them to repent and believe in Jesus and to receive the Holy Spirit. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And a good few thousand people on that day took him up on his offer. All throughout Acts, the story of the early church, you see the Spirit lead and guide and fall on people, empower the church to tell people about Jesus and to love and serve and even work miracles. Much of the rest of the New Testament insists that it is normal life for followers of Jesus to be filled with the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to be spoken to by the Holy Spirit. We are told in the rest of the New Testament to keep in step with the Spirit. We're warned not to grieve or quench the Spirit. We are told that the Holy Spirit will form us into the likeness of Jesus. If we remain open to the Spirit and listen to him and follow in his leading towards Jesus, we will have the fruit of the Spirit born in our lives. We're told that the Holy Spirit helps us to pray and even prays for us when we don't know what to do. We see that the Holy Spirit pours out the love of God directly into our hearts, assures us that we are children of God because of Jesus. We are adopted into his family. It tells us the same Holy Spirit power that raised Jesus from the dead will one day raise us from the dead, and countless other things that the Holy Spirit does in and through and to us. The early church and the authors of scriptures knew that God was powerfully present with them, not in a tent or a temple anymore, but within them. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, very important Holy Spirit passage and the understanding of what is happening here. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. The Holy Spirit, the very breath and presence of God, is in you. You don't go to the temple anymore. You are the temple. And when you gather as the new family of Jesus in the church, it's lots of temples coming together and forming one big temple. The threshold of God's presence here. Just as the prophets of old promised, just as Jesus modeled and promised, God would be powerfully present within each one of us. I want to quote from Gordon Fee again. What is crucial for Paul is that we are thus indwelt by the eternal God. The gathered church and the individual believer are the new locus of God's own presence with his people, and the Spirit is the way God is now present. If you've given your life to Jesus, if you have confessed your sin and your need of him and asked him to forgive you and save you, and if you are his student and his apprentice and are doing what you can to live in faithfulness and fidelity unto him, then guess what? Jesus is powerfully present with you. You have access to living water, resources for holiness, freedom from sin. You have access to peace, joy, and power beyond what we can know or understand. You have assurance of the love of God for you and so much more. And if you have never given Jesus your yes, if you have never put your faith in him and said, I want to follow you, but you want all those things that I just talked about, you can have it this morning. Just had a sense. There's something I'm not even sure I understand what living water is, but I've tasted of what the world offers, and it is not enough. I want living water. And if that's you, I want to lead you to Jesus this morning. Okay, are we open? Are we open? Sorry for the whirlwind. Actually, I'm not sorry. But I want us to see that no matter what our backgrounds, our stories, I think the scriptures are clear that the Holy Spirit is to be part of our daily lives. Are we open to the Holy Spirit like Jesus is open to the Holy Spirit? Are we open to the Holy Spirit like his first followers, the early church, were open to the Holy Spirit? Are we open to the Holy Spirit like the church through the ages has been open to the Holy Spirit? I think the question may actually be, can we afford to not be open to more of the Holy Spirit? Whether we feel like we have a lot of him, a little of him, or none of him, what if we are closed off to precisely how Jesus wants to help us in our lives, minute by minute? And what if that changed today? What if that changed going through this journey in Lent as we journey together? What if we just believed the Bible? What if we forgot about healing and prophecy and Shazam for a moment, you know? And we just said, Holy Spirit, I want all that Jesus has for me. I want all the Father has for me. And I want all that you have for me. And what if we said to him, lead me, empower me, help me, transform me, reveal more of who Jesus is and who I am. What if we said to him, I want your life and peace and rest and clarity and hope. What if we said to the Holy Spirit, I need to know in my head and my heart that I'm deeply loved by God, my Creator Father. What if we said to the Holy Spirit, I'm at the end of my tether. I can't do anything on my own, including save myself. But you can do immeasurably more than I can ask or imagine. And I am open to you, and I am listening to you, and I am willing to follow you. And what if we said to him, fill me afresh and drench me all over again. Let the living water come forth. Let me experience you welling up from within me. Let it change everything. Holy Spirit, would you fill the gaps? Would you take all of my chaos and bring the order of Jesus and his kingdom there? And how do we begin? Where do I start? Well, this is where it's going to get a bit interactive. And I'm going to, if you could put the next slide up, we're just going to leave this up during ministry time, which we're about to go into. Because I just kind of gave some simple steps that I just think if we want to respond this morning, we might begin with repentance, which is simply saying, I'm sorry and I want to go a different way. And we might need to repent for being closed. We might need to repent for what we've believed in the past. We might need to repent for my control. I had to repent this morning for my control issues. So we might need to just repent of some things. We might need to repent of simply not seeking God. We might need to do that. That could be a first step. Next step is we probably need to make a declaration that I am now open. There needs to be some kind of step that can be simple. It can be something you just do in your heart, make a little note in your journal. Or maybe part of your declaration is actually come up here and have someone lay hands on you and pray for you. Where you're saying, look, I am open. And with all the power of me that I can muster, I'm just simply stepping forward on a journey. Holy Spirit, do the rest. I am now open. There's something powerful about the Holy Spirit. I am now open to you. He doesn't go where he isn't wanted, but where he's wanted, man, does he turn up. And then we need to step into persistence. Like, I'm not just open to you, I'm welcoming you. And I'm pursuing relationship with you. I'm seeking relationship with you. Like, if you just think about if you were at a party, okay, and I saw you across a crowded room, okay, our postures, you know, would tell a lot, right? What is our posture? Now, a wave across a crowded room is one thing. But as soon as our eyes meet and we realize we're friends and we can connect, we come together with a big hug is a totally different thing. And what I'm talking about is we're actually moving towards, we're moving across the room. We're not just saying, I'm open, if you ever want to turn up, I'm open to that, knock my door sometime. We're saying, I'm welcoming you, come. And then we need to step into prioritizing, which is just listening to the Spirit. Maybe this prayer we've written, some of the booklet stuff, some of the resources, but just going on a bit of a deeper dive. What is the Holy Spirit like? What does he value? Where is he leading me? Am I giving any space in my life to listening to him, paying attention to him, seeking out things about the Spirit and life with Jesus in the Scripture? What is he speaking to me about? Where am I making space? Those are four things. I think you should write them down. You should take a snapshot of your phone, like all the cool conferences, people get their phones out, people's great slides. You could just do that, take a picture of it, make it your home screen, and you go through this step by step every single day. There you go. Boom. Easy. So what do we do now? As you can tell, I have no idea. I am going to invite you to come forward in a number of different categories. There'll be a prayer ministry team. We would love to pray with you and lay hands on you or not, whatever you're comfortable with in terms of our current coronavirus moment. One thing is, some of you have felt strongly, you feel like life is in chaos. One of the things the Holy Spirit does is hover over our lives and bring order to chaos by bringing the order of the kingdom of God and life with Jesus to us. So if you feel like I am drowning in chaos, we want to pray for you. Others of you, again, you've just heard about living water, and you want to, if it's God is out here distant, you don't want him. But if it's possible to know God in that intimate a way, God takes up residence in me, purifies me, draws me to more of him, empowers my life, then you want that. And we want to introduce you to living God and see the Holy Spirit invade your life and draw you to Jesus this morning. Others of you, you really resonated with that bit about feeling suffocated. And like Tim Keller, you want Jesus to be real to you, and you need to breathe. And so we want to pray for you if you're just feeling like things have gotten stale and old and suffocated. But then I just also felt like it's a moment. If you want to come up here and have someone pray with you or not, you just want to be up here. That's your repentance and declaration and stepping into persistence and priority. There'll be space to do that here. Why don't we stand? I'm going to invite the Spirit, and then you can start moving. If you're on the prayer ministry team, or your leader here, we're probably going to need people to pray. Holy Spirit, we just want to be as open to you as we can possibly can. Would you come? All around the room, would you come? Would you move on us? Just as in a sporting term or a life term, we have this term like second wind, where we're just empowered and strengthened again to go again. We just say, come, Holy Spirit, and breathe on us afresh. For those of us who have been following you for a long time, as we speak right to some of you are experiencing even like a choking sensation. You feel suffocated, like things are choking off. We just rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, come, fill us. Breathe deep in the name of Jesus. Receive more of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come and draw people who are not following Jesus to Jesus. Draw us into faith in Jesus. You love to shine a floodlight on Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, those of us that are in chaos, bring order to our chaos. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. If you want to just begin to come, people would love to pray with you about anything we've mentioned. If you're experiencing the Spirit, some of you are, I can see him resting on you, then you can just stay there if you want, or you can come forward. There's many people up here. We would like to pray over you. And if you want to make some of these repentance and declaration, you can just come up here. It's a nice, wonderful space. And we can just have a moment. I would just say, are we open? Do we want to be? Let's not be on the fence about this. Let's take every opportunity. Holy Spirit, would you blow through our church afresh and each of our lives? Would you do what only you can do? Come, Holy Spirit. So if you want prayer, now's the time. All these people love to pray for you. If you want to go get your kids, you can do that. If you want to have coffee, do that. But there's like a stunned silence in here. It's the Holy Spirit giving some of you deep stillness. For the first time in weeks, you can make a decision about what you want. And the Holy Spirit is, that's an order to chaos thing. Because some of our lives are so chaotic, we don't even know what to do. But right now, it's like the Holy Spirit has just put a weight on you, and it's pushed that stuff out, and you can make a decision on what you want, and you can choose the kingdom. You can choose more of the Holy Spirit. You can choose the order and graciousness of the kingdom instead of the chaos and darkness of the world around us. So don't be afraid to come. Don't be afraid to come and receive ministry. Don't be afraid to come and just be alone before the Lord and be open to Him and get rid of some of the things you need to get rid of and take on some of the things you need to take on. So go ahead, come on up. There'll be coffee, it'll be there. Be great. Come on.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.